Welcome to the Right Take Podcast, news, ideas, and conversations at the intersection of politics and culture, a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I will be your host, Mark Tapson. Welcome back to the Right Take Podcast. I am your host, Mark Tapson. Thanks so much for joining me here at the intersection of politics and culture. You know that old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times? Actually, I don't know if it's Chinese. That's just the way I've always heard it described, as a Chinese curse. But in any case, we definitely live in interesting times. And for the most part, I don't mean that in a positive way. We live in a time in which a political party that embraces and celebrates drag queens, the sexual mutilation of children, a narcissism so deep that they want to normalize the idea of personal pronouns, a party that refuses to define the word woman, that allows men to participate in and dominate women's sports, that party is trying to marginalize a straightforwardly heterosexual father of three family man with no apparent sexual fetishes, who doesn't insist that you memorize his pronouns, as weird. They want you to believe that J.D. Vance is the weird one. We live in a time in which a news media that at least used to pretend to standards of objectivity now serves openly as an organ of state propaganda and insists on manufacturing ludicrously false narratives about the current regime, knowing full well that nobody on either side of the political fence believes them. One of those narratives, just to pick one of the most comical examples, is that the vice president and likely presidential nominee, Kamala Harris, is a smart, accomplished, well-liked centrist with a charming laugh, when everybody, again, on both sides of the political fence, knows this to be the polar opposite of the truth. So, yes, interesting times. And so the question becomes, how do we navigate these interesting times? How do we rein in the lunatic narratives that dominate the news and bring some sanity and stability and normalcy to our political and cultural landscape? How do we break the curse of a society that has escaped the gravitational pull of truth and is spinning out of control morally, politically, intellectually, aesthetically, and every other way I can think of? Well, I've got a few ideas about how to fix our country and our culture, and I'm sure you do too. But I thought you might like to hear from a friend of mine and get his take on how to fix the country, because he's a smart, entertaining, and opinionated guy. And I mean opinionated in a good way. In many ways, he's a very normal guy. And today, that makes him unusual. And as I'm sure the left would say, weird. So he and I are going to sort through these interesting times and make sense of them. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss this conversation. And let me say, as always, please take a moment to subscribe to The Right Take if you haven't already, so that you can keep up with the conversations we're having here with important thinkers, writers, pundits, scholars, and storytellers. And if you like what you hear, a positive review would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, and don't touch that dial. My guest today at the intersection of politics and culture is the author of a whole shelf full of must-read books for grounding yourself in these interesting times, including Militant Normals, How Regular Americans Are Rebelling Against the Elite to Reclaim Our Democracy, and a whole series of People's Republic novels featuring his red state hero for our times, Kelly Turnbull. His most recent novel is The Attack, which I'll ask him about later on. He's a partner at an L.A. trial law firm, a retired Army infantry colonel who served in Desert Storm and Kosovo. He's a frequent guest on Fox News and elsewhere, very popular columnist at townhall.com, and an incredibly prolific tweeter, over 500,000 followers on X, used to be known as Twitter. He's a man who does not suffer fools gladly. Kurt Schlichter, welcome to the Right Take Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Very glad to have you on. It's been way too long since we talked. Kurt, I thought we would take this time together today and basically just diagnose and fix everything that's wrong with the country.
Sounds good.
All right. I know you're up to it.
I think we're going to need helicopters.
Sounds good to me. Let's address a few of the topics at the forefront of the news and kind of dissect those. Let's start off by going back a few weeks to the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. You know that expression.
Wait a minute. There was an assassination attempt against Donald Trump? I haven't heard anything about that.
I know the media has tried its hardest to memory hold that event, but no, there was actually an assassination attempt. And you know that expression, never attribute to malice that which could be explained by stupidity. But looking at what we know now, do you think that that whole security debacle can be attributed more to ineptitude or malice.
Well, there comes a certain point when gross negligence is so grossly negligent it becomes effectively indistinguishable from malice. I asked myself, what would they do differently if they wanted to make it possible for some creepy loner to get close enough to at least try to make a shot on the guy? I mean, I've actually got a column on that in Town Hall coming out. I don't think the CIA programmed this weirdo to come kill the guy specifically. As a matter of fact, I mean, it's not Day of the Jackal, it's Day of the Jackass. Let's start off with the fact that he's a terrible shot. Keep in mind, he was probably not trying to make a headshot and just barely missed it. He was probably trying to shoot center mass and missed 8 out of 8 times. He got a bare nick. That would have been a little... I'm talking at Trump. He managed to murder a wonderful family man, grievously wound 2 other people. That was simply because he was incompetent and just firing a rifle into a crowd. But as you know, 8 shots at 150 meters, aiming center mass, and you managed to miss all of them. That's quite the achievement. So this guy would probably not be the ideal vector for doing, the government doing something, which, if we found out the deep state had done this, I think everything's on the table up to and including civil war. Okay, I think if they were going to do it, they probably would have got a guy who wasn't a drooling incel idiot. I can see them getting a request for more security from Trump. I go, screw him. I'm not giving him any more security. And at some point in the back of their mind, yeah, if you get shot, maybe that's not the worst thing to happen. I don't think anyone articulated that out loud. Or maybe a couple, maybe some hushed jokes over drinks with like-minded communist infiltrators. Not everyone's as stupid as the nitwits who got on X and started running their mouths about, oh, too bad he missed. It's nothing like, but they certainly enjoyed telling Trump no as a screw you. They did it to RFK. And, frankly, the Kennedys have a slight problem with being murdered by leftists. Sirhan, Palestinian leftist. Oswald, a communist. I tend not to believe in conspiracy theories, not because I don't believe these guys would do it if they thought they could get away with it, but I just don't believe that they're competent to pull off something like that. You look at the CIA, which, somebody wrote a book about it called A Legacy of Ashes, and I think that really sums it up. If you remember that scene in The Terminator where the psychologist explains that the Kyle Reese character is brilliant because he has a psychotic fantasy that can't be disproven. To disprove it is to prove it. It's like that with the CIA. All our successes are secret.
All right. Well, let's move on because there's a lot to cover. So let's move on to Kamala Harris. The state propagandists of the mainstream media are now trying to rehabilitate the disastrous image that she has to make her seem presidential. Is that going to work?
I don't think it's going to work. And, it's very obvious what they've done and what they're doing. In fact, it's gotten a little creepy with them, removing web pages that show that she was the border czar or that she had the most liberal vote in Congress. I mean, I expect this of them. It's still kind of stunning to see them do it. The depth of cynicism and evil is just so, it's just so profound that you kind of have to sit back and admire it for its structural perfection. A few days later, the Trump guys have come hitting back, and there's a very powerful ad about her as border czar that's dropping. And, for military guys, this is a spoiling attack. They are the bad guys are attempting to reintroduce Kamala Harris as hip, cool, fun, interesting, competent, capable, pro-American, all that. And, you know, you have two strategies. You wait and see if that burns out, or you hit her immediately and start defining her. And they've chosen to hit her immediately. And I think it's going to work. I think the polls currently are showing the race about where it was before the disastrous debate. She's won back the people who left just because Biden was senile, but no more than that. And that's kind of what you would expect. I think in some ways this is going to be motivating to us on the good side, because I think, frankly, we're getting a little complacent. You know, we're going up against a senile old zombie, and people are like, "Wow, I'm looking at the polls. We've never been ahead in the polls before. We got this in the bag." Okay, nothing's in the bag, guys. You know, she's on one of two of the major parties' tickets. You can win. 2016. Trump had, what, a 10% chance of winning? But you know what happens when you have a 10% chance of winning? One time in 10, you win. If we say Trump has a 65% chance of winning, that means he has a 35% chance of losing. That means one time in 3, she wins. Okay? This is not the time to get complacent. This is the time to triple down. We need to hit her and define her. I think there's a very real chance that she becomes the Mike Dukakis for a new generation. A ridiculous poser. Yeah, the problem for her is she's not authentic. When she tries to be anything but a San Francisco Democrat, and I'm a guy who grew up in the next county over from San Francisco, so I kind of know what that means. My mom was a judge, elected judge in my county, San Mateo County. And so, you know, they just despise San Francisco politics, but we understood them and what they were. And that's who she is. She is a hardcore leftist. And so she's got to be inauthentic. And the media can say, she's totally authentic. I talk to juries for a living, Mark. Normal people can kind of sniff out when someone's trying to be something they aren't. Again, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's a done deal. And I'm not saying she can't pull it off. I'm just saying it's going to be really tough to spend 100 days being someone you most certainly are not. Well, Donald Trump's Donald Trump. It's baked in. You know what you're getting. There's no inauthenticity there. There are minor movements to the middle on issues. He's very cleverly moved to the center because he knows he's got the right, so he's moving to the center. And his numbers, which I thought were capped at about 46, are kind of tapping up from there. You know, 47, 48, I've seen 49 in some polls. You know, he's playing it very smart, but whatever he does, he's going to come off as authentic. She has a burden of spending over 3 months being a fraud and trying to present herself as something that everybody who knows anything about her knows she isn't. And that's hard to do for even the most talented politician. And where she's not the most talented politician. She is not Obama. Okay? She's not Bill Clinton, who were very talented. Now, if she picked Josh Shapiro, I think Josh Shapiro's the best of her possible candidate vice presidential picks for a number of reasons. But I think he's disqualified because he's a Jew. And you know, her party hates Jews. It's just that simple. He's also a supporter of Israel, which is... Yeah,
that won't fly with the left.
It's not going to fly. But, you know, he's... I think he's overrated. People are, oh my God, what a great orator. He's on Obama's level. He's not. He's a little short guy who gets out there and, you know, he just tweeted out, what'd he say? Donald Trump needs to stop talking shit about America. Ooh. Oh, you said you're Butch. All 5'3" of you.
And do you think Kamala is going to be the nominee definitely, or are the Democrats
going to? No question. Yeah. That's done. That's done. I'm still a little surprised Biden didn't hold on longer. But, you know, by giving up, he proved he's as weak and stupid and laughable as we all knew he was. It's a huge humiliation. This is all he's ever going to be known for. He's literally the worst American president since Buchanan. You know, no matter, well, he's got all these achievements. He has no achievement. Come on, stop. I was alive during Jimmy Carter, and, you know, I dislike Jimmy Carter. I don't buy the whole he's a good guy stuff. He's not. He's an ass. A bitter, hateful little man who loved dictators. But I think it is fitting that he has lived long enough to see himself eclipsed as the worst president of the last century. So, you know, he's got that going. Biden will go down in history as a joke, which is what he always was. He lived in terror of being revealed as what he is. He's the walking embodiment of the imposter syndrome. And it's all falling apart. He is that joke because he was so weak that he couldn't do what he needed to do. Early on, you know, he could have held on. A while ago, he could have said, hey, I'm not going to run for president. And just said, hey, you know, I'm not going to run for president. Guys, you guys are pointing out I'm 80 years old. You're right. I'm 80 years old. It's time for somebody younger. I'd love to do it. I think I could do it, but I've got to give it up, you know, and let my country choose a new general. And he would have gone out. I mean, then he would have gone out with good feelings. But he doesn't have that capacity. He's a bad, narcissistic, evil little man. And his humiliation is a fitting tribute to him. He'll be known as the joke he is. His worst fear's been realized.
Kurt, you and I are white dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Why weren't you and I invited to that White Dudes for Harris fundraising call last night alongside a lot of other manly white dudes like Eric Swalwell and Pete Buttigieg?
Yeah, too much testosterone. Holy cow. They should have called it Estrogen Fest 24. It's almost as ridiculous as the white girls thing with the vocal fry girls. I can't even do it. And their weird thing going, we need to learn to not to listen and not attempt to correct or speak over BIPOC voices. Our job is to use our, it's like, you know, if you're running for HR director, I think you got a leg up. But I'm not going to be dictated to by these people. Okay. I stopped being bossed around by lonely cat ladies when I was in about fourth grade. And by the way, J.D. Vance deserves a lot of credit for accurately pointing it out. The lonely cat lady people are horrible. They're stupid. They're weak. They empower communists. They have no investment in the future. They are nothing, and they the emptiness inside them, they should be filled with a true religion, is instead filled with this communist baloney. They're terrible people. And you just hate people who don't have children. That's not what I'm saying. And that, of course, brings to mind a common question I've had to ask when people make stupid observations like that. Are you stupid, or do you think I and your listeners are stupid? Because there's so many... Yeah, it's just I refuse to play the game of explaining myself to people who are either dumb or pretending to be dumb for the benefit of dumb people. And I just won't do it.
Speaking of white dudes, I saw recently that filmmaker Michael Moore said in an interview that when Kamala's in office, the future will be female and that white men will be shown the door. What's wrong with a party that somehow thinks this is a motivation for their constituency that the future will be female and white men will be put in their place?
Well, first of all, why would he think that the future being female is good? Name me a female. Name me an exceptional female leader. There are exceptional female leaders, but if you start naming them, well, let's see. There's Margaret Thatcher. She was great. Queen Elizabeth I and the II. Okay, both not. I wouldn't call them conservative in our terms, but conservative as far as patriotism, family, and that sort of thing. Okay, those are good leaders. Yeah, I'm down with that. How about Merkel? You think Merkel's great? Merkel's your example. That bucktooth communist weirdo in New Zealand. That's your example. The one who thinks censorship's a good idea. The simple fact is that. You know, first of all, let's get past the whole defining woman thing. But by saying the future is female, what you're really saying is men and women are different, and women have certain characteristics that are different than men and superior. And I'd like to know what those are. What does he believe? Empathy? Does he believe empathy is prioritize? And I'm not saying you don't have empathy. I was a peacekeeper in Kosovo. I've got empathy. I'm just not a sissy. But if you think empathy is the primary characteristic for a leader, is that really your position when the world is divided into Westphalian nation states in perpetual conflict with each other? You think empathy is seriously? I mean, anybody who says the future is female is just stupid. The fact is the things commonly associated with maleness, and if you want those characteristics, go to Margaret Thatcher and do what she did, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But they're commonly associated with maleness. Of course, Thatcher and the various Elizabeths prove that they don't have to be. Those are characteristics of a good leader. So what he's essentially saying is take bad characteristics that make you weak and stupid. And he labels them female. And frankly, if I was female, I'd be grossly insulted. He's not really talking gender. He's talking Marxist ideological construct that we label female. So dumb people who are female, and there are plenty of dumb females, just like plenty of dumb males, will vote for us, thinking that's a great thing.
Exactly right. You mentioned J.D. Vance a moment ago. Let's talk about this new media narrative that J.D. Vance is weird. How has normal, and the guy's definitely, he's almost the definition of normal. How has normal become the new weird? And how do we reverse course on this?
I am very upset because I heard somebody put it better than I could, that when they talk about weird, they're not talking about actually strange. They're talking high school clique weird. You're not part of our group, so you're weird. So it's not, he's not hanging around freaking perverted drag queens. He's not saying that we should castrate children to satisfy the delusions of their Munchausen mommies. He's not doing things that are, really weird. What he is other. And they, they really hate JD. And I think Trump understood this. And picked them for a very important reason related to it. They don't like JD because JD did what they said you should do. Hey, working folks, work hard, go to our schools, pass our tests, become one of us, which he did. He went to Yale. He was a law review editor at Yale. I mean, I was a law review editor too. But not at Yale. That's a pretty big deal. This is a very smart guy. He worked hard, came from nothing, worked hard, passed all their tests, beat them. Okay. Married a wonderful woman. And my wife and I have had a chance to sit and talk to JD and Usha for about 10, 15 minutes. And we found them utterly normal. Okay. Just delightful people. I like them. If they were my neighbors, he'd be coming over. We'd be having wine or beer. Or whatever. I mean, just a good guy. But the thing is, he did everything they want except agreed to their assumptions and ideology. He is a Christian. He does not believe that people like him are inherently bad and need to be ruled by their betters from Marin County. Okay. He doesn't believe that men can become women, though I thought it was interesting. He had a friend who went through mutilation surgery, and he was nice to that friend. And that friend got mad at him because JD didn't believe that this should happen to children. This guy who JD was a friend to betrayed him by putting out, you know, personal confidence is just disgusting. Just the lack of character there, but it shows JD's character. The JD will stand by you, even if you make a horrible mistake like mutilating your own body. I think that whole thing says much better about JD than it does this poor individual who's obviously very troubled. But look, they're mad at JD for the same reason they're mad at Trump. Trump was in their crew and rejected them. They hate them because they're traitors.
Speaking of weird ideology, this whole gender madness, I think, has become kind of the tip of the spear of the cultural Marxist assault on Western civilization. How do we course correct a society that is hell-bent on eradicating the very definitions of masculinity and femininity?
Well, the society isn't. The cadres are. And what we have, our problem, is started out as well-meaning. Which is we don't want to legislate morality, you know, do your thing and I'll do mine, kind of soft libertarianism. So we offer toleration to people who have no intention of offering tolerance when they get some control. So I think we need to look at that. I used to be a pretty live and let live guy. Now I'm live, and you're not going to do weird, creepy shit that ruins my society. Okay, I would imprison forever anyone who mutilated a child, if not worse, mutilated a child to conform to the delusions of their Munchausen mommies. There are no trans kids. It's horrible psychological problems combined with manipulation. I would also ban it for adults. if you want to secretly at the fringes of society dress up as a girl, that's fine. You come near a school, you're going to jail forever. You touch a kid, you're going to Florida. They'll put you in the electric chair. I see no reason to hunt you down as long as you stay in the corners and pockets of society that are out of sight. But I try tolerating your perversions, and you tried to have sex with my kids. So now we're going to do it a different way. And that's, I think that idea is going to grow. We have to get by, we have to get past false libertarianism. Look, libertarianism works fine with people who aren't intent on exploiting it to essentially rule over us. But they intend to rule over us. We know that because every time they have the opportunity to do it, they attack our right to speak freely, our right to assemble, our right to the press, our right to keep and bear arms. I'm surprised they're not trying to quarter soldiers in our houses in a manner not prescribed by Congress. The problem is normal Americans are rule-based, and we want a set of rules that everybody plays by. They believe that rules are useful only for gaining an advantage, and then they can be eliminated. But the problem is this leaves no basis for us to, for lack of a better word, win. Okay, we can't make our case in society when you have Calvin Ball. And the best example of this is, you know, Kamala Harris was the border czar. Okay? Everyone was saying it. She was, it simply was a fact. Okay? And we naively believed we could rely on that fact. And then we get the regime media that says, wait a minute, no. it wasn't, that fact isn't true. Oh, and, you know, some of our agents and allies are literally going to go back and erase stories that said so. So how do you have a, how can you have a free society where you cannot rely on the persistence of facts? If somebody has, if a politician has a record and that record becomes inconvenient and that record is therefore eliminated, how do you have politics? It doesn't work. Okay. You can't have a democracy where somebody can change the facts because the facts allow you to make democratic judgments. So what do you have? Well, you have power. You have pure power. Well, I've lived in places where they exercise pure power to rule. And I got to say, it's suboptimal, Mark. All right? You know, you would have one village, where I was in Kosovo, you'd have one village that was Serbian, one village is Albanian, and they didn't intermarry, and they didn't much like each other. But they didn't, you know, they persisted for hundreds and hundreds of years. And then all the rules went away as Tito's Yugoslavia disintegrated. And pretty soon they were literally killing each other. I walked through a village. I remember it vividly. I got a picture. I put it up every once in a while on Twitter. I'm in uniform. In the background, you see this whole village. It's by the Ibar River in northern Kosovo. And the place is just devastated. It looks like the photographs of Gaza. And the buildings are just torn apart. But if you look close, there's no burn marks. There's no flashes from explosives. Mark, they took that town apart. A town apart with sledgehammers. They ripped it apart. How much hate do you have to literally tear down a building with a sledgehammer? I mean, this is a whole town. And it was their neighbors. The next town over did it. I think these were, some of these were gypsies, some were Serbs. But their neighbors hated them that much. Do you want that kind of society? I don't. I would rather have one where we can, you know, have something kind of democratic. We can make arguments. People can come to their conclusions, and then we can vote. You can't do that if the borders are page in Wikipedia gets erased because it's suddenly inconvenient.
And they're the ones that are always crowing about democracy. They're totalitarians.
Yes, but that's, you recognize them for what they are and how they use the structures of freedom to take away freedom. So most of us, guys like us, we are beyond the hypocrisy thing. We marvel at the sheer brazenness of it. But it doesn't surprise us anymore. Normal people who don't pay attention to politics, I think they're still, it's still effective to them. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me when they want to censor me, even as they talk about freedom of speech, because I know they don't believe in anything except the centrality of their own personal power. If you understand that, it's fine. And I don't feel myself restricted to the norms as they used to exist in fighting them. That's why, you know, people are like, Kurt, we can't go back and cancel them. That's cancel culture. Guy, dude, that's not what the rule is. The new rule is you take down your enemy when they say something controversial, and that stops them from saying controversial things. I didn't want that rule. I argued against it. But over my objection, that rule was put in place, and now I'm going to give it to them good and hard like a suppository. And that's the only way that's the only way they learn. You can't, when did Republicans stop believing in punishment? You punish people to keep from doing bad things. Also, you do it because you need to show society there is justice. Well, that's why you cancel bad people, even though we don't like cancellation. A, you have to punish them to deter them, but also we have to show our own people we're fighting back. Why do you think there's nobody guarding, George Bush anymore? Remember how we defended George Bush as he was being attacked? And the minute he got out of office and people said mean things about Obama, he went over and sided with Obama against us. He didn't defend us. So he has no supporters. The old Republican Party refused to fight for its people. You have to go obtain justice, where you call it justice, retribution, angry people who want you not to do it will call it revenge. You've got to get even. That's human nature. I'm not going to follow anybody who's not going to get them, who's not going to pay them back for what they do to me. It's never going to happen. It just can't happen.
If I remember right, you've got a degree in military strategy, is that right?
Yes.
From a military school?
Army War College. One of the top five Army War Colleges.
Is it a very effective military strategy when one side is playing by the Marquess of Queensberry rules and the other side is using every dirty trick in the book and playing with guerrilla warfare?
Well, in fact, the dumb people who lecture me about the law of war don't understand. They're like, well, you can't blow up a school. I can blow up a school all I want if it's being used as a military facility. The law of war is not a suicide pact. The law of war, first of all, I think the law of war is very useful. I would prefer to fight wars using the law of war. There's always going to be some tension with that, including on our side. There will be, Americans who get over murder prisoners or whatever, and we need to police our own on that. For us, it's relatively minor. Other people like Hamas, I can't believe you're coming in and killing, random people. Well, first of all, they aren't killing random people, but even if they were, that's the freaking rule, guy. You put a base inside a school, we're bombing the school. But it's a school. Yeah, I know. Put one in a hospital, see what happens. The law of war does not require you to play with your hands tied behind your back. The law of war essentially says, hey, how about we all agree to do this, and as long as we're all doing this, we'll do this. And when one of us stops doing it, okay. Because remember, the law of war says you can't put military assets in among civilians. That's part of law of war, too. So the law of war, which I think is a good thing that properly applied minimizes the hellish damage of warfare, it is not a suicide pact. But there are a lot of Republicans who are suicide pact Republicans. Well, I don't want to talk about Kamala Harris's sexual ladder climbing. That's unseemly. We're better than that. Well, I'm not better than that. Well, it's not important. Hey, what's important is policy. Hold on. Time out. Stop. I will decide what is important to me. And if her banging on Montel Williams is important to me, that will be what is important to me. You don't get a vote. I get to tell you what's important to me, not vice versa. You insufferable, prissy little wuss. Now, again, it doesn't mean it's the best attack. I think the attacks on her policy are, in general, the most effective. But there are audiences out there who will respond to the fact she was kind of a tramp. And if you have any doubts about the effectiveness of talking about somebody's romantic background, you may have noticed the Democrats may have mentioned that about Donald Trump once or twice. Do you think they did that because they felt it ineffective?
You mentioned Hamas a moment ago. Let me ask you about your most recent novel, The Attack, which is really chilling. As I understand it, you began writing that novel immediately in the wake of the October 7th attacks in Israel as a kind of a warning or a wake-up call to Americans that such an attack here is not unthinkable, especially considering the national security disaster that is our southern border. Do you think an attack like that is only a matter of time in America?
I think it's inevitable. They've opened the border. Our enemies see it. Our enemies are not stupid. I don't know why we can't assess our enemies coldly and ruthlessly and understand that they are bad people who believe in their bad things and will do bad things. And they will take advantage of our weaknesses. I am sure that the border has led to almost uncounted number of cells, not just from the Hamas jihadi types, though that, with Iranians, but also Russian and Chinese. I would assume there are Chinese sleeper cells here ready to be activated should we go to war with China, which is a definite possibility. I wrote the book in about 6 weeks. I started a few days after October 7th, and I wrote it as a novel, kind of structured as the stories about 40 different people who experience a gigantic nationwide terrorist uprising, essentially. And I wanted to do that because I wanted to talk about various components of it. And you can't have one hero who's in 40 different places. Okay, that then you've got Forrest Gump. Okay. So the book has scared the hell out of people, and that was the purpose. I wanted to write in a novel form because, you know, I could write a dry paper about how this happens. But until you're reading about a mom who's home with her kids while her husband's away, and suddenly, you know, jihadis come to the neighborhood and start murdering everybody, exactly what they did in Israel, okay? And you're in a liberal neighborhood where people don't own guns. Okay, what happens now? Well, do the cops come? No, because they blew a car bomb up in front of the police station. And, of course, the police aren't soldiers. Police are policemen. If you have, you know, if you have a essentially a small army of not particularly deeply trained fanatics with automatic weapons and a bunch of magazines, they can do incredible damage. I mean, you look at that little mutant who tried to kill the president. He got 8 shots off. He managed to hit 4 people. Okay, kill one, hurt 2 very badly, hurt another fairly well. This is a guy. You know, the idea of military rifles or military derived rifles is to give somebody who is not particularly well trained the ability to be brought up to speed fairly quickly to use it effectively in combat. Well, if that combat's directed at normal Americans on America's streets, you've got a real problem.
Kurt, let me ask you this, switching gears again, assuming Trump wins in November, what are the top 2, maybe 3 executive orders he should sign on day 1 and get underway?
Close the border, end all DEI, and I would want a hiring freeze until people could get in position to personally handle the hiring. For instance, you know why the FBI is corrupt, incompetent, and leftist is because under the Obama administration, they stopped hiring ex-cops and ex-military and started hiring sociology degree holders. Personnel is policy. I would freeze hiring, and I would put hiring decisions in the personal realm of the appointed leadership. And I would have them go through and go, okay, this person's never done anything. This person, you know, has a gender studies degree. This person's not going to be a cop. I want to see people who have law enforcement experience. I want people who have military experience. Unless you have something else to show me. Was this person an Eagle Scout? Maybe then. Maybe I'll do it. But we're not just for the FBI. But, you know, Justice Department, why are we hiring, you know, this guy was part of the National Lawyers Guild? You know, we're not doing that. Okay, you want to work here? I want you to have been a prosecutor in a suburban county, not an urban county, a suburban county where they put criminals in jail. That's where we're going to start hiring U.S. attorneys. Not kids coming out of Harvard and Yale who get 2 or 3 years as a prosecutor before they go to, some giant Wall Street law firm. No, we're going to rebuild with people who are not ideologues or not. Well, I want conservative ideologues, so we will hire those people. But that's what I do.
What are you working on now? And how can people best keep up from day to day with what you are doing? Is your social media, is your X account the best place to go?
Yeah, find me on Twitter. I think that's a great place to go. Read me at Town Hall every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday with my columns. And go get The Attack. I think everybody ought to read it. A lot of people have read it and said, hey, I've taken steps in my own life. Because if this goes down the way I expect it will, and the way it's gone down at places like Best Lawn, at that concert hall in France, a lot of more Americans will be going about their daily lives, and suddenly they'll be caught in the middle of a terrorist attack. If you can carry a weapon, carry a weapon. But read the book and then think about how you're going to react if and when this goes down. Chances are you won't be the unlucky one, but if it's as big as I expect it could be, you will probably know someone caught in it.
Kurt Schlichter, thanks so much for coming on The Right Take. Keep up the good work, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Listeners, get Kurt's newest book, The Attack. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. And follow him on X. You won't be disappointed there either. Thanks, as always, for joining me here at the intersection of politics and culture. Don't forget to subscribe to The Right Take so that you can keep up with all the important conversations we're having here. And if you like what you hear, please leave that positive review. Be seeing you. The Right Take with Mark Tapson is a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center and Front Page Magazine. Unauthorized reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.